Hello, everybody. This is episode 12 of Pod on the Parish. It's a beautiful day out there today. I think we're going to get a nice hot weekend approaching. I've got Gail Kettifer here today. She's got a great talk coming up. We'll talk a bit about that in a minute. But anyway, how are you doing, Gail?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. Cool. It's a lovely day here as well.
And where is here?
So I'm talking to you from Brockenhurst, which is in the New Forest National Park.
Cool. And so do you live there as well?
I do. I do live inside the national park. I have the best commute ever coming to work, particularly at the moment when all the foals are out on the forest. So lots of baby animals to see as I make my way to work.
Ah, awesome. So are you a local, or have you lived there
Yes.
your whole life?
Yep. I haven't lived here my whole life, so I am an incomer. So I've lived here for over 25 years now and absolutely love it. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
We've been there on holiday. It is a beautiful part of the world. Where did you live before then?
So I actually was born in Kent. So
okay, cool.
So I've come west and love it, never look back.
Yes, excellent. So what do? You live there, you commute. That's all we know about you. So what's your job?
So I'm clerk and proper officer of Brockenhurst Parish Council. Never a dull moment, no 2 days are the same, and absolutely love it.
Excellent. And have you been in the sector for long? How long have you been in the sector?
So I initially started off at Salisbury District Council years and years ago before they became a unitary. So I have worked in local government before, but in the past 6 years or so, retrained as a clerk, took my Silka qualification, and really enjoy being in this sector. Actually, clerking is very underestimated, but very interesting way to spend one's time.
So you did the Silka. Would you recommend people to do it? Was that difficult? How long did it take you?
No, I do recommend people do it. I really do. There needs to be a certain level of qualification, I think. There has to be, in terms of standards, to prove that how important it is that that this sector gets managed properly. And I think the way to demonstrate that is by having qualified clerks.
Yes, 100% agree. Excellent. So we know a little bit about your professional career. Is there something else about you that no one generally knows? A little secret maybe you could share with us today?
Well, there's one thing that does help me in my current job is that I'm actually a practicing commoner. So that means that I've got, you're looking quizzical. I will explain.
Yes, never heard that before.
So I have, let me explain very quickly. I have rights of common in the New Forest. So over the Crown lands. So I have the right to graze and depasture ponies, cattle, in fact, any equine animal, donkeys, mules, and cattle onto the open forest. So I actually have ponies out there roaming around on the New Forest as we speak.
That is well cool.
Yeah.
That is well cool. Yeah.
To make it's brilliant.
So
on the weekends, and when the evenings are the longer evenings and lighter evenings, I go out and check my ponies, particularly when they're, coming up to giving birth if they're in foal. And the thrill of actually finding your ponies, particularly when they've got a foal with them, is wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Nice.
So how do you know which ones are yours then?
Because they're my babies, they're my children. You do. I mean, I know mine and I can tell mine from a distance. I can tell by the way they walk and that kind of thing. Just like you do with friends and relatives, you kind of spot them from a distance and think, oh yeah, that looks familiar. So I recognize them by their markings and their colors and all that kind of thing, and I know, even though they can go anywhere on the forest, they tend to stay in the same area.
Oh, they do.
So a bit like us, they have their favorite places to shop and hang out, and so they're the size of their territory is determined by access to food, water, shelter, friendship groups. So those kinds of things. So I understand on a really hot day where there'll be shading, on a cold day where there'll be sheltering. So I go out and find them, and if I do, it's brilliant. And if I don't, then I'll just go back the next day or the day after that.
Oh, that's well. So how, I mean, do they recognize you as well then?
No, not really.
No,
No,
no.
because they're semi-wild.
Yeah.
So it's a real it's a dilemma, because you don't want them to be so tame that they will go up to anyone. But you want them tame enough so that if you do need to administer to them, if they become sick or injured, that you can actually look after them without stressing them.
So if I wanted to become a practicing commoner, how would I go about it? Is it actually not possible?
Well, yes, it is. And so for a girl from Kent who always dreamed of having ponies, this to me is, it feels like I've gone through the wardrobe and I'm now in Narnia.
Yes.
So I actually bought a property that came with rights of common.
Right,
So
got you.
this is one of the, dilemmas of New Forest and maintaining the commoning system, is that people are moving into houses with rights of common but not exercising them, and then gentrifying the houses so that the local people can no longer have access.
So if you don't practice, you lose that right then.
No, 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 no,
Oh,
no, no.
okay.
So no, it's enshrined in statute law. So but the property goes, the rights of common go with the property. So if you move away from your property, unless that house or piece of land has rights of common, that's how you lose it. So
Okay, cool.
it doesn't get transferred from person to person or generation through the generations. It's actually it's all to do with property.
Excellent. Okay. Well, we're gonna got a few people in the waiting room now for the webinar. Today you are talking about ponies, pigs, and parish councils, probably our best ever webinar title.
Excellent, excellent. So I'm talking to you from Brockenhurst Parish Council, which is in the New Forest National Park. So the New Forest is located in Hampshire, which is down in the south of the country. So the map that you're looking on the left is the whole of Hampshire. The New Forest is that little corner down on there, which is, if you look on the map on the right. So this is the New Forest National Park, and Brockenhurst is there just below Lyndhurst. So that gives you an idea of where I'm speaking to you from. So this is an actual map of Brockenhurst, and you won't be surprised it's not actually round. So that's the kind of shape it is. So Brockenhurst is the biggest parish council in the New Forest. So it's got a resident population of around 3,500 people, and this can actually double. This population can double in the summer because of the amount of tourists we have. So added to that, we've also got a resident student population from Brockenhurst College. Our precept is currently £107.82, and we have a median resident age of 51. So if you've got all our residents in a row from youngest to eldest, the person in the middle would be about 51. And of course, Brockenhurst is highly affluent. And part of that is because of the good road and rail network links that we have, which will become important when I share other slides with you. So going through the village, we've got the A337 and also Crossrail links from London Waterloo to Manchester Piccadilly. So some of our other residents are that we're famous for are the ponies, cattle, donkeys, pigs that roam the forest. So the forest is unenclosed, or huge parts are unenclosed. So there's no fences. They can go anywhere they please, and all the animals have rights of way. So people in cars have to stop to let the animals pass. So the animals have priority. This is half the reason why people, lots and lots of people, come to the New Forest to see the animals, but they do bring their own, as well as attractions. There are some interesting circumstances that that they actually produce. So we'll come to that as well. So for Brockenhurst Parish Council, the assets that we look after are, we've got allotments, a playground, cemetery. We actually have our own office, war memorial, bins and benches. And then we have several committees that that look after the interests of the residents. But also as a parish council, we have the New Forest National Park Authority. So they are our planning authority, and they look after all the planning applications, and also the verderers of the New Forest. So the verderers are a statutory body that have the interest of the commoners. So they are there to protect the commoners, and the commoners are people with rights of common over the unenclosed forest. So I'm actually a practicing commoner. So I have rights to graze cattle, ponies, donkeys, mules over the open forest, and the verderers look after those interests. So also there's Forestry England, who act on behalf of the landowner, which these days is DEFRA. Natural England, who are here to protect the conservation designation of the New Forest. Also the Environment Agency, and then we have New Forest District Council that do our bins, Hampshire County Council that look after the roads, and as I mentioned before, Brockenhurst College. And we also work with the primary school, the railway station, and then there's a very active Village Hall Trust, Friends of Brockenhurst and Brockenhurst Speedwatch. So there's lots of other organisations that we actually deal with on a day-to-day basis, and some of those have statutory duties that we have to communicate with. So Brockenhurst in the news. So I don't know if any other parish seems to be as interesting to national media as Brockenhurst seems to be, for various reasons, which I will share with you. One of them is the railway station. As I say, we've got cross rail links to London Waterloo and Manchester Piccadilly. So we have a very busy level crossing. And unfortunately, every now and again, someone takes a wrong turn and ends up on the railway tracks. So this has happened several times. And the parish council at the moment are trying to convince the Network Rail to change the way the gates operate at the crossing, so that people physically can't turn onto the railway lines, and it does happen. Now, luckily, no one has been killed so far, but we don't want that to become a possibility. So we would like the old fashioned gates that actually stop people from crossing onto the railway lines. This is a bridge that made national news recently. So this was a bridge that the parish council for years had been trying to take over from Hampshire County Council, from the Rights of Way department. But then they found out that actually it wasn't Hampshire County Council Rights of Way, that the bridge belonged to Forestry England. So Forestry England did a survey and realised that actually this bridge was not fit for purpose, and to make it fit with current safety standards, I mean, you can see it's just got one handrail and it's not wide enough for a pram or a wheelchair. So to make it actually compliant would cost too much money. So Forestry England said, well, we'll remove it. So as a preliminary to that, they removed the handrail. But by the time contractors arrived to remove the bridge, a 75-year-old content creator had staged a sit-in. And this sit-in became national news. So now the parish council is negotiating with Forestry England to take on the lease of this bridge. And we're working with local people to try and make the bridge safer. But it will only be single pedestrian access, so we can't make it any wider because of the issues with Natural England. We're having to do all sorts of surveys, so environmental impact assessments and all those kinds of things. And because this bridge is surrounded by SSSI, which is a designation for sites of specific scientific interest, we have to be really, really careful. When recently we had gas mains replaced, the contractor had to dig by hand because the gas pipe went through SSSI, and they were not permitted to use construction excavation equipment. So their contractors had to dig by hand. So what would seemingly be a really straightforward case of improving the bridge when it comes to places like Brockenhurst, and because of the unique landscape that we are in, there's an awful lot more to it. And again, so this is Brookley Road, the kind of main hub of Brockenhurst, and what you see here is affectionately known as the water splash. So we can actually, the council can actually control the sluice gates to make sure that this little trickle of water is available for tourists to look at when they come in the summer, and the ponies drink there. And it's a kind of bucolic image of life in the New Forest. However, in the wintertime, it's a different story. And again, this bridge made national news in the floods in January. Just because of the amount of water. The New Forest sits in the Hampshire Basin, so we're surrounded by an awful lot of wetland and streams, and again, that's what makes the New Forest so special. But if you're trying to drive through the water splash, and although it does look fairly benign, cars absolutely float away. So the community at the moment are working with the Environment Agency, with Forestry Commission, Hampshire County Council to come up with a resilience plan to try and mitigate the worst of the flooding, and to try and prevent people from going through floodwaters, because I just don't think they appreciate that cars can float in, only a few feet of water. So it doesn't have to be up to your wheel arches for you to float away, as these pictures demonstrate. So again, the ponies and the cattle and everything are wonderful. The ponies, by the way, they're often referred to as wild, but they're not wild. They're semi-feral. So they do have human interaction. They can't be petted or ridden or anything like that. But if they do need human intervention, if they're sick or wounded or that kind of thing, then we can handle them. But generally speaking, they're just left to roam wherever. Same with the cows. And interestingly, if you see a cow with horns, it doesn't mean it's a bull. There are no male animals permitted on the New Forest, so there are no stallions and no bulls. Stallions are only during a specific time of the year to breed with the mares. But generally speaking, it's feminized livestock, female livestock that are out there keeping this landscape amazing. So it's great having all these animals, but of course they come with their own particular problems, such as when the district council decided they were going to bring in wheelie bins. Well, it didn't take the donkeys long to figure out how to get into the wheelie bins. Previously, anyone living inside the national park would leave their black bins inside their gates. Because then the bin men could get them, and it obviously stopped the donkeys from ripping bin bags open. But the donkeys quickly worked out how to get into the bin bags. Sorry, the bins, the wheelie bins. And so there's been an awful lot of consultation with people about how to secure wheelie bins to stop the donkeys from getting into them, and particularly the food caddies. So now food caddies can be kept inside the gates because the donkeys have worked out how to unlock them. And there was a big worry that if this happened during pannage season, which is when we let the pigs loose to eat the acorns, that if they got into some of these bins, we could have another recurrence of foot and mouth. So all sorts of things that one has to consider when you have free roaming animals in your community. And again, when the litter bins aren't emptied, the donkeys soon know how to empty the bins. They're very clever. And parish councillors and myself often have to don plastic gloves and bin bags to go and decant with all the students that we have, and they come into the village for lunch. Sometimes the bins do overflow, and the donkeys will take advantage. Once again, there's always each year, usually the students trying to encourage ponies and donkeys and pigs into the local shops. So this normally gets in the news, particularly over the summer period when the media don't seem to have a lot on. So they're always looking for a good news story. So watch out for donkeys and things appearing in a Tesco near you. And this time of year as well, we get lots of reports coming into the parish office about dead foals. and ponies all over the forest. I think people don't realize that to have a really good sleep, horses have to lie down. And so what will happen is one of the other herd members will stand watch while they have a really good sleep. And to some people, this looks like mourning behavior. It looks like they're standing over a companion that's died or a foal that's died, and it's not. They're lying down and having a good sleep. And we also get reports of animals loose. So quite often, someone will phone the parish office in absolute panic, saying that there are ponies on the road, and what should we do? And so we just say welcome to the New Forest. And quite often, it's not unusual for cows. The cows in the bottom corner, I was told, were watching daytime movies. So it's interesting having all the animals around, and it does add a different dimension. Things like we at the moment we're trying to have a bus stop, bus shelter installed. And it's how to install a bus shelter that's not going to be used by the animals to shade during the summer or shelter during the winter. So finding bus shelters that are pony and donkey proof is proving to be difficult. Plus, if we wanted to install a bus shelter, because it then means that the footprint of the bus shelter is depriving the animals of grazing, we have to find a land swap somewhere in the parish to give back to the verderers so that we're not restricting the amount of grazing that's accessible to animals. It's a bit like a death by a thousand cuts with people who move fences. So even people coming into the forest, if they erect a fence on their property that is designated as open grazing, they have to remove the fence, because they cannot restrict the grazing for the commoners' animals, because the commoners have rights over land, even your land that's privately owned. So those are the kind of interesting things about living in this landscape. I think I have the best commute when I drive across the forest to come to the parish and see the animals. It's absolutely wonderful. I realize that's the attraction. That's why people come here. It's such a beautiful place. And it's so rare to see a landscape like this unenclosed, that's been this way for, well, designated by William the Conqueror, we think, in about 1079. So it's been this way for nearly 1,000 years.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Gail. That was a great session there. Really interesting. So, if you could kind of give one takeaway to your attendees today, what would that be?
I think it's always that the analogy of the swan swimming. So even though everything looks perfectly smooth, there's always frenetic energy going on underneath. So no matter how out of control you feel, someone will be looking at you thinking, gosh, that person has really got it all together.
Yes, that's how I feel at the moment. It is crazy, but yeah, probably people think I'm organized. Excellent. So I'm gonna go back to learning a bit more about yourself. I mean, we have a question. If you could approach your 18-year-old self, what one bit of advice would you give that 18-year-old self? But before you answer that question, tell me about Gail at 18. What was she doing? What was she thinking? Was she happy? Okay. Sad? Who was that Gail?
Oh my gosh, I was full of enthusiasm. I was an absolute mad Kate Bush fan,
Yes.
and spent most of my days dreaming of ponies.
You
So
kid me.
no, honestly, I used to, when I was a child, I used to cry myself to sleep for want of a pony.
Oh
Because
my.
there was, growing up on a council estate, there was just no chance. And now when I look at my life and think how it is, I just pinch myself every day. Like I
You
said, I think
can't.
I went through the wardrobe in and came out in Narnia.
Yeah, from a council house to the New Forest and being a practicing commoner, that is massive upgrade, isn't it? Massive upgrade.
Well, if you want it hard enough, John, then that's what you'll do. You'll work to it. But some
Oh,
of it
that's
has
lovely.
been luck, I have to say. I've been surrounded incredibly fortunately by people who've kind of supported me and helped me on my journey. So I didn't do this all by myself. So they have
Yes.
to take a huge amount of credit too.
So if you wanted to approach Gail at 18, so you're at college, were you at that time?
No,
Or no, you're working.
I was a late starter. I didn't
Yeah.
go to university till I was
Yeah.
in my 20s.
Oh,
So
yeah.
I was working in the theatre. Can you believe it? I was actually working
Okay.
at the Palace Theatre in Shaftesbury Avenue.
Oh, very
Yeah,
posh.
it was brilliant. It was such good fun, but I didn't really have a plan at that stage. I was just too busy living in London, having a whale of a time.
So, yeah, if you approach yourself at 18 in London, having a whale of a time, just finished your shift at the theatre, what bit of advice would you give yourself?
I think really important piece of advice is learn about money. And I'm not talking about doing an accounting course or bookkeeping course, but learn about money. So, and now with with hindsight, things like pensions, savings, the really, really boring stuff. So learn to be smart with money. You've gone
Oh
quiet.
yeah, sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, I said that's really good advice. I was on mute.
I'm
Would you
sorry.
have listened to yourself?
Yeah, I think so.
You would have. Okay,
Yeah,
cool.
I think so.
So we're going to do you. So the previous guest left you a question, and I'd also like you to leave a question for the next guest. This is from our colleague Hannah. She actually did a webinar yesterday. She asked if you could go back in time to attend any event as an invisible bystander, where would you go?
Do you know, Hannah, I absolutely loved this question. Living in the New Forest, of course, I would have to go back to August, 1100 AD, and to the death of King William, Rufus the Red. So he was one of Britain's worst kings, or England's worst kings. He was horrible. He really was. He wasn't a nice person at all. Very bad hygiene habits and the rest of it. Wasn't kind to widows and orphans, all that sort of thing. And he had what we call a hunting accident in the New Forest. And so we don't know if it was regicide or an accident, but so I'd love to be there to see actually what happened, because his brother Henry dashed off to Winchester to claim the royal treasury and became Henry the First.
Awesome. Nice
So
one. And you were happy
so
with that?
I'd love
Yeah.
to know what actually happened, because of course no one does, no one knows. So it's all
No.
speculation.
You'll come back and tell us all. So, do you have a question for the next guest speaker?
Yes, I do. If you could choose anyone alive or dead to be your mentor, who would you choose?
Brilliant one. Brilliant one. Love that. Okay, we're going to wrap it up. We're running a little bit late today. So, appreciate you coming along today. Have a little chat with you before, share what you've been doing at your parish council in the New Forest. And yeah, thanks for taking your time.